Fleeger and Briggs here. Ever dreamed of owning a piece of your favorite sports team? Now you can buy or sell your favorite teams on the world's first sports stock market app.
That's right, Rick. Download the free All Sports Market app on Apple and Android and start investing in your favorite teams today. You earn dividends every time your teams win, and you can turn those dividends into profits that can be used for in-app upgrades and other features. Challenge your friends or compete against the rest of the world.
Download the app and use referral code DeLorean when you register, and you could win your very own DeLorean. How cool is that? Check it out on asmfree.com or in the iTunes store. Again, that's asmfree.com. Don't be left out.
Welcome to the Asylum. And now, your hosts, Rick Fleeger and Rick Briggs.
Oh, welcome back to an all-new episode of the Asylum Fantasy Sports Show at AsylumFantasySports.com.
We are Fleeger and Briggs. If you didn't know that, you should. Welcome back to the Asylum. Drop us a line. AsylumFootball@gmail.com. AsylumFantasySports@gmail.com.
On the tweeters, @AsylumFootball. Give us a follow. Interact with the show. It's almost draft time, Rick. We got to start doling out some advice here. If you want to win your league, stick with the Asylum. How cheesy was that?
That's right. Hey, did you see the 15-year-old guy, the kid that qualified for the U.S. Open?
I heard about it.
What a golfer name. Cole Hammer.
No, that's not his real name.
Yeah.
Cole Hammer.
Cole Hammer, the 15-year-old. He qualified for the U.S. Open this year. That's great.
Well, that's a lock. He could golf circles around Tiger Woods right now.
They're praying this guy gets big real quick.
A rough little weekend for your boy Tiger at the Memorial.
How's that 85 feel?
Wow. Right, there's God. How many people in the world could have gone out in this country, amateurs, and shot 85? Most of the scoring was in the 60s, just to highlight how bad that 85 was. It's not like the course was playing tough.
No, not for Memorial. But
we're going to talk fantasy football here later. We're going to unveil a new game for you. But let's do some other sports before we get there. But yeah, Rick, is he done? I think he's got to be done, right? It's just, is it over?
It's got to be messing with his head. I mean, big time. I don't know how you get over that.
Right.
I'm not just talking about the 85. I mean, you know, stuff like that happens every now and again to anybody. I remember back in the 70s, Jack Nicklaus shot an 81 something, you know. But he just doesn't have, you know, number one, he doesn't have the game that he did, obviously.
He has no idea, which is
common
to the average golfer, unfathomable to a professional. When he swings that club, he's got no clue where the ball's going.
It doesn't seem that way.
No clue.
But he doesn't have the fear factor. And the mystique is gone.
Right.
And he's basically floundering right now. He's just trying to find the golf game.
Right.
And if you don't have the golf game, you know, everything else is gone. You know, the swag, the...
Oh, yeah, nothing.
The confidence.
He's a sideshow at this point.
Yeah. And the worst part is, and I understand, because we've gone through this debate a million times, you know, this is how you got interested in golf.
Right.
I understand that. But the fact of the matter is, he's almost 40.
True.
There's guys out there that are making noise. I mean, you know, Rory McIlroy, Spieth, you know, Ricky Fowler, all these guys, they're out there, they're playing well. I don't need the headline that says, Bob Anderson's leading the tournament, Tiger shoots 85.
Right.
I don't care. You know, you're 25 shots behind.
Right.
You know, I don't need to know that. And you know what? It would probably do him a lot better if everybody wasn't, you shot 85. What's the matter? Well, I suck today. I don't know what to tell you.
Well, do yourself a favor, though, if you don't want to be in the spotlight negatively. Be a little bit better than dead last. There was nothing. I have never seen anything like him out there playing by himself in the first group we call it. It was just him on Sunday. Played it in less than 3 hours. I mean, he was about 240-something, wasn't it, Rick?
Yeah.
Pulling his own pins. He just wanted off of that course. It was the saddest thing I've ever seen. I saw a thing with your boy Nicklaus, and I think he was talking to Nick Faldo. talking about. He went through a slump. You know, he tried to compare it to this. I'm not sure Nicholas ever went through a slump like this, if you could even call this a slump.
Right.
And what he discovered was he'd been tinkering with his golf swing. And he finally said, that's it. I'm done. I'm going back to the swing that got me here, my original swing. Now, in my mind, I'm such a poor golfer. I didn't, you know,
right.
I can't fathom various swings. But these guys are the best in the world. And every month you read about Tiger's got a new coach, he's got a new swing, a new this, new that. Go back to the swing maybe that won you all that, unless physically he can't do it. I don't know, because it was a violent swing. Granted,
but you
maybe
would think
his
the basic fundamentals would be there.
You would think. But Nicholas's and Faldo's opinion was he's just tinkered with it too much, and he's gotten so far away from his game that right now it's not recoverable, that he needs to get back to the basics.
Yeah, I think you're right. I mean, you know, that's coming from a guy that obviously I couldn't really tell the difference between
right.
Nicholas swing from, you know, the 60s
no,
throughout
no,
the 80s.
We don't have the eye for that.
No. And Woods, but Woods sometimes, even now, I mean, even to the average golfer, say, you know, he looks out of control a lot
right,
of times.
Right, exactly.
I mean, you know, he's off balance and so forth. And that just can't be good. I mean, I've played an awful lot of golf in my day. I used to be pretty fair at it. You're off balance when you're swinging. That means bad things
yeah.
happen.
Bad things. So be interesting as the other majors come up, Rick. About the only other story, not a lot of sports headlines. You know, we can talk about the Women's World Cup, or there's that one chick, I think number 24, I'm kind of into. But other than that, I don't really want to discuss Women's World Cup. But I found this interesting, Rick. We attended a bit of a debacle several years ago, a fantasy football convention out in Atlantic City.
Right.
Needless to say, it was more than disappointing.
Yeah, more than disappointing. However, they had it.
Right, and we were there. That's what we do.
And we met some good people.
Right.
I mean, you
no,
know,
absolutely.
It was kind of a neat thing because, you know, In today's world on Twitter and so forth, you know, you talk to some of these guys, the Jeff Ratcliffs, the Mike Clays, and, you know, Taz, and these kind of guys. You got to meet them face-to-face, shake their hand, find out who they are, talk to them and everything. It was kind of cool, that part of it.
Right.
Then
the convention started,
right.
And it pretty much sucked from there. But they were planning what I had to assume would be better. Out in Las Vegas, Rick.
Right?
So right there, I think, you know, how could you screw it up? A National Fantasy Football Convention out in Las Vegas. And they had managed to ink some current players. The one we were at had past players, not half the ones they advertised, but they had some past players. And for a discount rate of a couple $100, you could have Phil Simms sign a football, but I won't go down that road. This one had Tony Romo, Rob Gronkowski, Dez Bryant, DeMarco Murray, and over 100 other and current NFL players slated to show up.
That's cool.
This thing been planned for months and months, set to go off first week of July, right around the 4th of July. Apparently the NHL brass just caught
NFL.
Word of it. What'd I say?
NHL.
Oh, yeah. Hockey's been good. I got that on my
True.
Mind. Caught wind of it. Contacted the NFLPA and basically shut it down, reminding the Players Association that the players are to have nothing to do with anything that is sponsored by, run by, basically has anything to do with a casino. So the players, not being able to show up, not being allowed to participate, has facilitated this convention being shut down. There's got to be people who have already spent money planning to be there. I think this is absurd. I think it's obscene, and so does Tony Romo, Rick. And I'm going to read, if I can find it here, just a quote for him from Tony Romo. This tells you he's a little irritated by this. He must have had a pretty good payday coming for him to be this upset about a fantasy football convention. It's like when you're in high school and you don't get invited to the party. It makes you feel bad, Romo said Tuesday on ESPN's The Herd with Colin Cowherd. If they really wanted to be part of it, all they had to do was just call and ask. It would have been a lot easier, I think. Than going through the process the way we did. We understand that these things come about, and there's big money involved sometimes from the NFL's perspective. If we had known about the issue of the place or thought that was something that could have been an issue, the NFL could have told us that right away. That's what makes it interesting. So basically Tony Romo intimating that the NFL, as opposed to these individual players, isn't getting a piece of the pie here, and that's why they're shutting it down. The NFL taking the stance, you know, this always gray area and we're always pretending where your entire sports popularity being based around fantasy football and regular gambling out in Las Vegas, still we pretend like there's this hard line between it. That's the NFL stance. Tony Romo seems to think they're just upset they're not getting a chunk of the pie.
And it's funny because, and obviously they're in Las Vegas, so there's a lot more, you know, attention attracted to it. But the fact of the matter is it's a convention, correct?
Right.
And you have Tony Romo and these other players going to be
Bryant,
there.
DeMarco Murray, over right. 100 active guys. Gronk, I'd like to go party. You imagine a few days now, in Vegas with Gronk? Good Lord.
This is what really gets me. I can understand if somehow they were involved in gambling.
Right.
Okay. But the NFL is gambled upon at the tune of what, $4 billion a year just in fantasy football.
Right.
Not to mention
whatever the books are
the
making.
Bookie. Right, exactly. So where up in their ivory towers did they find that this is wrong? What excuse was it? I know the real reason is because they didn't get paid for it.
Right, and that's what Tony Romo said.
Right, and everything's cash to them. But what is the reason that it would tarnish their image?
The league recently contacted the NFL Players Association about the event to remind the players of a longstanding league policy that, and here's in quotes, so this must be out of some sort of rule book or agreement or something, players and NFL personnel may not participate in promotional activities or other appearances in connection with events that are held at or sponsored by casinos. So if that's a written policy somewhere, and being that in quotes, I suppose they have the right to say that.
Oh, no doubt.
But it's stupid. It's stupid.
Of course it's stupid.
Let's start being honest with everybody right here. And this isn't because we're fantasy guys, and this is what we do.
Here's one
thing.
The
current popularity of the league is due in no small part, in fact, in large part, to fantasy football and the explosion of fantasy football. You yourself, as the NFL, puts together a network with an offshoot of the Red Zone. Don't tell me this is for diehard NFL fans who want to see every scoring play from every game. This was built specifically for NFL players. Fantasy football and gambling are what rules the fandom of your leagues. It is incumbent upon you and your teams and your owners, so Roger Goodell and your employers, the owners, to ensure that teams and players specifically aren't involved in gambling. These are grown men being offered real salaries to participate in something that further promotes these individual players, these individual teams, and more importantly, your league as a whole. There's no suspicion. None of these guys are under any suspicion. There's no reason to think that because this is being held in a Las Vegas casino, any of these guys are beholden to any type of gambling rings. You police that. That is your job. Do not bite the hand that feeds you. And the NFL continues to try and draw a line between them and fantasy football, where they will slap it away in one hand, and this isn't who we are. And, Rick, we deal with this as we try to get credentialed for different events, for different training camps, and being told specifically that we do not credential fantasy football media.
Right.
At the same time, you will reap the benefits and make the billions and billions and billions of dollars off the advertising and the popularity that the fantasy football community and the gambling community specifically have brought to you, but at the same time trying to shun it away. I think we've reached critical mass where the league cannot have it both ways any longer.
Oh, I agree. And, you know, going back to what you said, I mean, it was written in, and you quoted the rule. Okay, I will agree in premise that the NFL is correct because it is a written rule. The players should know it, and they should, you know, when asked or approached about it, hey, we can't do it at these venues. You may want to think about doing it somewhere else, blah,
right.
blah, blah. Flip the side of the coin. take it out of the rule book.
Right. Exactly. That's the point.
You know,
that's
the point. Agree with them. And the players should have known. I mean, it's kind of like, you know, you talk about some of this stuff. You know, we talk about, you know, the marijuana use or
right,
whatever.
Right.
Okay. Do it in your house. I mean, you know it's wrong. And whatever the case may be, if you know the rules, if you know you're going to get suspended for it, don't do it.
Right.
But on the other side of the coin, drugs is one thing. A fantasy football convention because it's at a casino?
Right.
Totally unrelated, totally ridiculous. Take it out.
Yeah, and I don't know if it's the casino who is sponsoring this event or it's just the venue for it. You know, I don't have that information. I don't think it matters. Let's be honest here. It's the gambling culture that makes the NFL what it is. It's two things. It's the violent nature of it, and it's the gambling culture. And I don't think it's necessarily in that order, which is what has made this the biggest sport in the United States right now, and perhaps, you know, after soccer, in the entire world. It's overtaken baseball. It's overtaken everything. You can't keep pretending this doesn't happen. And I think, you know, with the bad blood between the Players Association and the league already, now you're taking money out of these guys' pockets, and they have a strong belief, and I tend to agree with them, that this is less about enforcing some sort of wall between Las Vegas and the NFL, that it is about the NFL not getting a piece of this. Every February, we get to read these terrible stories of the NFL sending lawyers to the local church in your neighborhood because they have a sign up that they're having a Super Bowl party and prayer meeting, and that sign is to be taken down, and they are to cease and desist. It's got to be a big game party and prayer meeting. I mean, this is what this league does. And I'll tell you what, if it wasn't for the gambling, Roger Goodell and NFL, you'd be tumbling in popularity because you have so far out of hand with the way you've bungled all of these PR issues and the way you do things like with the Super Bowl and what you're doing here to fantasy football players, which make up a massive, massive percentage of your viewership. If it wasn't for fantasy football and for the gambling culture, I think the popularity of this league would completely tumble, would completely come apart because the league is... they're horrible. It's just awful. I live for this. I take the time, Rick. You and I sit down 2-3 times a week every week to do this, and I hate the NFL as an organization. I am just so passionate about the games themselves and about fantasy football and gambling that I can't separate it myself. You know, either I need to separate from them or they need to separate from this pretending that there's a gap between what we do and what they do.
I love the organization. I love the NFL. I do not like the personnel running it.
Well, okay, fair enough.
And that's, I mean, I think that's that is a huge key. I mean, it's, you know, Goodell didn't make this league as popular as it is.
No, and he gets too much credit for it, I think.
I believe so, too. But that's enough of that. I think, you know, it is what it is. You know, unfortunately, it's done. The convention's called off, and nobody's going to be saying 3 years from Vegas, say, boy, that was a debacle.
No. I think they probably care less about it than we do. Yeah, I don't really care about it. I had no intentions of going out there.
No.
It's just another step. What frustrates me is the league in general and the individual teams. You know, I've been told by 3 or 4 teams, we don't credential, we don't deal with fantasy football media. You're going to have to start. This is, I don't know, when's the last time you were at a game, Rick? Yeah, I go to 1 or 2 games a year.
Yeah, I mean, I haven't been since the Hall of Fame game. I did not go to 1 game last year.
But, yeah, when you're at the tailgates, what are people talking about? They're fantasy squads. They're not talking about the game they're about to see. They're talking about their fantasy squad. Yeah, the biggest pop other than a big play is when they show at every commercial break now, when they show highlights from the Red Zone channel. And everybody checking their phones and checking their fantasy squads. This is a huge percentage of your viewership, of your fans, and it's time to really acknowledge them. And not just acknowledge them where you can get your claws in it and make a few bucks, but acknowledge it as a community and a big part of what you do.
Right. You know, and that is a nice little segue into what we can do for the community. We are providing yet another popular game show.
Oh, yeah. What, yeah. Did we ever decide on a name for that?
Well, yes, it's Positional Pick'em.
Positional Pick'em.
And that is a new concept. Boy, I tell you, Cole's timing is just unbelievable.
Cole botched that one a little bit, didn't he? All right, what's the next game called again, Rick?
It's
Positional Pick'em.
Yes. It's the exciting game show of fantasy football where the experts
present
the other contestant with a positional pick'em. The premise of the show is to present highly rated positions, players in certain positions, against different positions. For example, a number one quarterback against a number four running back, a number two wide receiver, you know, blah, blah, blah. This is how it works.
I'm with you.
Go for it.
All right, so I'm going to present first. Do I have to do that awesome announcer voice you did, or can I just use my silly pipes?
No, you can use yours. And I'll tell you what, that's basically what we're doing. This is just like a little exercise, really, for this is good prep work. I mean, we're in June, and a lot of things aren't settled yet, but it's good to realize where you value a player. And what we're talking about, obviously, Aaron Rodgers, number one quarterback, correct?
Right.
Okay.
I think we can agree on that.
And for argument's sake, we're going to say Antonio Brown is the number one wide receiver.
Okay.
Okay, we're just, for argument's sake, it's not saying it is or not. I'm going to, in a positional pick them like this, who do you pick first?
What were the two players again?
Aaron Rodgers, Antonio Brown.
I'm taking Antonio Brown.
Okay. This is the little exercise on how valuable certain positions are and the rankings within the positions.
These are the questions you're going to be facing on draft day, and we're going to try to keep these players in similar ADP, if you will. I don't take a lot of stock in ADPs that are out there right now. So, all right, Rick, I will start it out here. We'll keep it. I think this is an interesting one right here. So I'm going to start you off with Rob Gronkowski. This is a guy who's always downed. Is he a first-round guy? How early in the second round if he's not? Arian Foster, Rick,
Rob Gronkowski.
Or Rob Gronkowski. I scooped myself there. I was trying to do the big reveal. Rob Gronkowski, Arian Foster.
Boy, I see. Okay, now that's a very good question.
I know, right?
And a lot of it could be predicated on what you drafted first, because this isn't going to be a first pick. I'm not picking Arian Foster number one.
Right.
Okay? So I'm going to have somebody. I think in that position, and you don't really know what draft order you're at, I think I might go Gronk when it comes to that in PPR formats. Foster's more of an injury risk in my mind, even though Gronk, he had that terrible problem with the broken arm and the infection and everything else. But last year seemed to be okay. Foster had a great year last year, but again, missed time. I think I like Gronk. He's a touchdown machine, and I think I can make the running back up on my next pick. Just, the difference isn't going to be that big.
Right. And why we want to have this discussion, I think to back it up to the beginning, I think this falls into, I agree with you, Rick, on the Gronk over Foster, depending where we're at. And we don't want to go down that road too deeply. We're going to take these on the surface, take them for what they're worth. However, in a lot of cases, you're going to say, well, Gronk scores so many more points than Arian Foster, but there's going to be times when, based on positional scarcity, things like that, that's what we want to get into in this discussion. But in that one, I agree. I think Arian Foster isn't going to be your first player overall taken. You have somebody before you're faced with this decision, I think, or you're not making this decision.
And expounding on your point, that's another good thing. See, Gronk and Foster were roughly, 6 points apart last year in fantasy scoring. Foster missed time.
Right.
There's a gamble you take there. Chances are he would score more points if he played all the time. However, these are the things that you have to factor into your decision-making. Okay, let's move on. And I'm going to give you one just a little lower down on the totem pole. Golden Tate.
Okay.
Justin Forsett.
I think for me, that's Forsett. Now, I'm going to couch this as I always do so I can go back and say I was right no matter what happens. I'm not as giddy about Forsett as a lot of guys are out there right now. And this answer may be different Labor Day weekend. However, as of right now, Forsett is going to be the number one guy there in Baltimore. If I'm looking at Golden Tate, I've drafted receivers already. I think when you're looking at Forsett, I'm going to say if Forsett's going to be your third running back, I'm going to go ahead and take Tate. I'm assuming here by this question, I'm looking for my number two running back. Forsett's that perfect guy, and there's an entire tier of players that are going to be very, very important at the running back position, Justin Forsett chief among them. And I think these are where if you're going to take this top wide receiver talent, if you're going to take a Gronk, maybe if you're the Aaron Rodgers guy who's going to take Aaron Rodgers early in the second round, a guy like Forsett in that tier of running backs is going to be very important. I love Golden Tate, Rick, and I think he is going to exceed most people's expectations. I think you and I are a lot higher on him than other folks in the business from what I've read and from what I've heard on other shows. However, there are at least eight other guys of a Golden Tate level that I'm comfortable with. Forsett's kind of a line of demarcation where you're in that tier of running backs where these guys are going to be very important. You're going to want to gather up a couple of them. And if I have an opportunity at Forsett, I'm going to jump there and I'll get in a fair equivalent to Golden Tate at another time.
I agree 100%. I think, as especially right now, he's the number one guy in Baltimore. He's a number one running back, which means he is a starter. And if you can get him as your RB2, I think you got a pretty nice backfield because you've already got one of the big guys.
Right.
Golden Tate on the other side of the coin, like you said, we're both pretty high on him. I look for some good things out of him. But at the same time, in the next round, I can probably pick up, I don't know, Julian Edelman,
right,
DeAndre Hopkins, somewhere at Mike Evans maybe, somewhere along that line. You're not going to lose much.
Right.
But now you got a great backfield.
Exactly. We think.
Well, yeah. Right. I mean, on paper. I mean, I've seen many of fantasy teams on paper, you know, fail miserably. But you still have to go with what you know.
Exactly.
You don't know if somebody's going to break a neck or a leg or anything. So, but no, I think that your running back situation is in good hands. And you can pick up some other ones later on that'll be playing.
All right, Rick, I am going to move back up into the first round, to the mid to lower first round
all
for
right.
you. And I am going to bring you Marshawn Lynch. This guy, boy, I've seen him as high as three. I've seen him 7 and 8 in running back rankings. I've seen him as high as the 5th and 6th pick in drafts, and I've seen him in the second round. Marshawn Lynch is a real lightning rod going into this season. So I'm going to give you Marshawn Lynch versus Calvin Johnson, a guy who slid down rankings this year.
That's a very, very good question because in my mind, I'm at the end of the first or
yeah,
the beginning of the second.
Right in there. You're 10 to 14 somewhere
right.
in there.
So I don't know if I've got anybody.
May not. Probably
so,
don't.
Under that premise, I'm going Marshawn Lynch because he's going to be one of the last of the big-name running backs left.
Right.
And, look, Calvin Johnson, he did slide some last year, but he's not done. Don't get me wrong, and I would love to have him on my team. But if we're splitting hairs and we're in this pick right here that I've got to make the choice – I got to go Marshawn Lynch. I mean, he had 17 total touchdowns last year. That's massive. Calvin Johnson never has that many touchdowns.
You're right.
So I'm going Marshawn Lynch. I mean, he's going to be 12 to 1,400 yards, probably 12 to 15 touchdowns.
All right, I don't know if all these guys are going to be here. I'm leaning Calvin Johnson, Rick, but I'll let you move me off this position if you'd like. Looking at the way I have things ranked right now, here's the guys I have behind Marshawn Lynch. DeMarco Murray, LeSean McCoy, Jeremy Hill, who I'm maybe too high on. I'm starting to feel queasy about that one already, and it's not even July yet.
Right.
Mark Ingram. That's sort of the order I have behind Mr. Lynch. Behind Calvin Johnson, I have the likes of A.J. Green, Randall Cobb, T.Y. Hilton, Kelvin Benjamin. Knowing where I'm picking, I think I'm going to go ahead and take Calvin. I think there's a bigger drop-off there. I really do. I'm still of the mind Calvin Johnson's a top three or four guy. I don't have him ranked there just because of the guys ahead of him. But Calvin Johnson's a top three or four guy. If I can take Calvin and spin back around and get one of those running backs I brought up, I mean, this is splitting hairs then. And maybe I'm stealing the next question. So then is it LeSean McCoy or Emmanuel Sanders? You know what I mean?
You told me to move you off this, and here's how I think I'm going to do it. I think in a position, if we are making a choice between Marshawn Lynch and Calvin Johnson, okay, there has to be, in my mind, a whole lot of receivers gone.
Fair.
On top of the running backs that are gone. If I'm down to Marshawn Lynch, even in the second round, I'm still probably only at about the eighth running back.
Right.
If I'm at Calvin Johnson, in my mind, that means we've gone through Antonio Brown, Demaryius Thomas, Jordy Nelson, Dez Bryant, Julio Jones, Beckham. You know, I don't know. I mean, you could throw in, make a case for a few others. Manny Sanders, Cobb. You know, there's so much more talent there.
Right.
I think I go after that running back. I have some other guy very similar to him. I don't think if both of these, if I'm having to choose between these two, I don't think there's enough of these guys can be gone where I don't have a cushion in one of the positions.
It's fair. I think where we differ there is there was three or four guys on that receiver list that you mentioned that would have to be gone that I would have Calvin Johnson ahead of.
Oh, that's fair. That's fair.
I think that's where we do. This is a razor's edge to me. It really is.
Yeah, I mean, I threw out like a Cobb and so forth. But if I can get Lynch and then Cobb.
Okay, you're right.
You know, that's my point.
Because you're probably not going to come back and get Lynch. I think you moved me. I think you did it. You did it successfully. Write that one down.
Wow.
Remember that.
No, see, I'm not even sure where the... Hopefully I got it.
What are you hitting there? Well, that's our old. Remember this?
Yeah.
I like this.
That's what the asylum's about.
We should bring this back. Just lust, every now and again.
And insanity. Our old boy Dave Cherney like that.
Yeah, he did. All right. Fade that out, Cole.
All right.
I think what you were looking for was this, Rick.
Yeah.
All right.
I was actually looking for it. Remember, we used to have the applause.
Oh, yeah, really do we still have applause? I don't. Cole, get some applause in
here.
Yeah,
we got to get some applause back on here. Okay. I think I'll stick a little higher up because this is kind of this is interesting because you start getting the lower things and you have to say, well, I'd have three receivers
right,
now,
right.
Blah, blah, blah.
Yeah, you don't want to get too low.
No. Okay. Now, here's one here. I'm going to try to make it a little iffy for you. I'll tell you what, you're getting a little squirrely with them. I'm going to give you Jeremy Hill.
All right. Uh-oh.
Or.
Calling me right out.
Yeah, you betcha. Jeremy Hill or tossing between these two guys, but Ben Roethlisberger.
Oh. No, this is, while I'm getting uncomfortable with my Jeremy Hill love, this is Jeremy Hill fairly easily for me. Only because, well, I think Ben Roethlisberger's a top 5-6 fantasy quarterback. I'm reasonably confident in that based on the weapons around him. I'm not making a decision on a quarterback that high. Jeremy Hill's at worst a third rounder. I'm not looking at a quarterback till the seventh or eighth round. I think from a point perspective, from a value perspective, these guys are on the same tier? I think that's it's a fair question. But based on my draft strategy and what I'm going to recommend to our listeners going into your drafts in 2015 is there is such a wealth of quarterback talent. It's Aaron Rodgers, one. It's 2A with Andrew Luck, 2B, Peyton Manning, and then 11 guys I am just as comfortable with running from Ben Roethlisberger all the way down to Eli Manning, which we talked about on the Fantasy Sports Network show. While I'm starting to slide off my Jeremy Hill's a top 10 guy position, positionally, Jeremy Hill's the guy I want in that scenario.
I tend to agree with you. There's too much talent at quarterback, and if Jeremy Hill's there, we're starting to run out of pretty quality running backs, in my mind.
Right.
I mean, you have to see the board, obviously, but and I'm not looking for Gio Bernard to fade away. There's a lot of these guys out there in the industry that are just, I mean, just marking it down. Jeremy Hill, 1,200 yards. I mean, just mark it down.
I'm one of them, but I'm getting skittish about
1,500 it. 1,500 yards. I mean, he's the guy. I mean, it, you know, basically, in fact, I was actually in a little Twitter battle with one expert. Gio Bernard's not that guy. No, he's not that guy. That's why Jeremy Hill's getting a lot of playing time. But
right.
I'll tell you what, he's not the bum either.
No.
This guy's a talented running back,
yeah,
and he's going to get
numbers.
His share.
Right, exactly.
And so, you know, but he's quality, and he's going to play. So I agree with you. Okay, I'm going to go. Oh, it's your turn. I'm sorry.
That's right. You just calm yourself down.
I just
there,
had a
Rick.
Good one.
All right. Well,
Don't steal it.
Write it down. Remember it, Rick. I'm going to give you, we're going to stay on this tier of running backs because I think this is where the decisions are going to be made. I'm going to give you Mark Ingram, a guy who, boy, I've ping-ponged back and forth on with this guy. How about Mark Ingram, Kelvin Benjamin?
Benjamin.
That's simple.
That's not that simple, but it's pretty definitive for me. I love Kelvin Benjamin. I think he's going to improve. Look, we talked about Cam Newton on the Fantasy Sports Network show a couple weeks ago when we were doing our quarterback rankings. You rank Cam Newton even higher than I did.
Right.
Citing the improvement that you see that he's going to be making this year. But I think Kelvin Benjamin is going to be a big part of it. We all know about Greg Olsen, but Kelvin Benjamin emerged with spades last year, and they're only going to get better. They got a, you know, they got a nice core receivers, and you know if Cam Newton's going to excel, he's going to have to use these guys. He, you know, he's not running all the time, so yeah. I mean Benjamin Ingram. Look, they got Spiller in town,
right?
He's going to lose work to him when he's on the field, which is about three games.
Yeah.
I guess that's not a very valid argument there. But seriously. If Spiller stays healthy even somewhat, I think he loses work to him.
Oh, certainly.
But to me, Benjamin's more of a value. I think he's more valuable to my team.
I think folks are getting too comfortable with Mark Ingram. I really do. Yeah, this is a guy we had pretty much put out the pasture going into last year. And we had a lot of discussion around it being the contract year and the option not being picked up. And he had a nice year, and the option got picked up. Their bread and butter still isn't going to be 3 yards in a cloud of dust type of offense. C.J. Spiller's there. Is Pierre Thomas still there? I don't know. There's going to be another guy or two there that are always there that are going to take carries away. I'm not – Here's how I'm going to take Benjamin, and it's difficult for me just based on position scarcity at the running back position. I am not 100% comfortable that Mark Ingram's a number two running back. Kelvin Benjamin's a clear number two wide receiver to me. That's where the separation comes in and where I'm going to lean Kelvin Benjamin ever so slightly.
Okay. I'm going to go with one a little different. I'm going with And he came alive pretty good last year. A lot of touchdowns, but on a terrible team. Mike Evans.
Okay.
Greg Olsen.
Oh. That I grunt like it's a hard decision. That just must be how I think. That's Greg Olsen for me, unquestionably. Mike Evans, again, here's a guy, back to my, I don't even remember what receiver I was talking about earlier, Golden Tate. I can find 10 Mike Evans. Love what the kid does. I think he takes a step forward this year. I'm actually starting to buy into Jameis Winston ever so slightly, at least as a competent NFL quarterback, which they didn't have at all last year, and he put up great numbers. Greg Olsen, to me, Rick, is number two right behind Gronk in terms of tight ends, you know, right in line with Jimmy Graham, and maybe we'll get into a Jimmy Graham debate later. When I'm at that point of the draft, give me the sure thing in Greg Olsen.
I agree. Greg Olsen was, what, third in receptions last year among tight ends behind Martellus Bennett and Jimmy Graham. But, you know, there's a little stat. I don't really want to go away from Greg Olsen. You know, he's clearly my number two. We did it on the Fantasy Sports Network show. He was my number two ranked tight end. But we mentioned Gronk. We mentioned Olsen. We really haven't mentioned Graham. 85 catches for Graham. Olsen at 84. Gronk at 82.
Okay.
Gronk had 1,124 yards in his 82 catches. Olsen had 1,008 yards on his 84 catches. Graham had 85 catches, 889 yards. Not impressive.
No, it's underwhelming.
Yeah. And now he's with Seattle. I mean, this, you know, we're getting away from the Greg Olsen thing. I agree with you. I thought he was, you know, better value than Evans. But, I mean, that's just something to me that was telling last year. He did have the 10 touchdowns. I agree with you on that part. But in Seattle, I just don't think it's going to be the Jimmy Graham show, and I look for him to even take a step back further.
Yeah, I mean, that's a discussion we'll have a lot more as the summer wears on. I just disagree. I believe you don't give up what you gave up to bring in a player of that caliber and not work him into your offense and make your offense compatible to his skill set. But that's another game completely.
Yes.
That is not
it'll
what's
probably
this game?
Sweep the country.
Oh, yeah.
Too.
What's this game called?
Positional Pick'em.
Yeah, positional Pick'em. We need a echo effect of some sort here. All right, Rick, my turn. Let's see. How about it? Here's a guy I think we disagree on versus a guy we do tend to agree on. But based on my rankings, I got him really close here. Rick, Lamar Miller versus DeAndre Hopkins.
Yeah, that is very good. And look, I hate to keep using the same argument because we're starting to use the same argument on every one of them, it seems like. There's such a glut, for lack of a better word, at wide receiver when you're talking these calibers of wide receivers.
Right.
Lamar Miller, look, he's very unspectacular. Don't get me wrong. But, you know, he had over 1,000 yards. He had like 9 total touchdowns last year. Look, he's probably going to be my RB3.
Right.
Unless I went wide receiver heavy, then he's my RB2. But then I'm not really worried about a Hopkins if I went wide receivers early.
True.
To me, Lamar Miller's got to be the better value there. I love Hopkins, don't get me wrong. And I'm just squirrely about the whole situation in Houston. The quarterback thing, you know. I have to go Lamar Miller.
All right.
And no, nothing from you. They're just not a thing. I mean, you can't disagree with me. You can't agree. You can't do anything. You're a very meticulous single task.
I was instructing Cole on something. Sorry,
I really
about
wish
that.
We were distracted. We got to get video.
Yeah, we got
when
to
this guy picks up a pen and starts jotting something down on notebook, the world stops. I don't even think he breathes. He just sits there in a stupor, and the stuff's running out the side of his mouth, and it's like all over this tablecloth. I mean, my wife has to wash it like every night because he just sits there because he was so. It was like a monkey sticking a stick in a turpentine mound.
So what we need
to
do.
So intent on the one task
we,
at
we
hand.
We need to tweet a picture of this out at Asylum Football of exactly what's happening here, Rick. There are conservatively 17 pieces of equipment sitting on this console. What percentage of them do you think are sitting in front of Rick Briggs, and what percentage of them do you think are sitting in front of Ric Flair?
Well, I mean, you know, look, right in front of me, I've got the board.
As you reach across, you know, after you played the original theme song because you're reading it upside down. I got a lot going on here. I'm trying to wrangle these interns, that you bring in here. I got a lot going on here. I'm a busy, busy man. On top of being this damn entertaining, it's just not that easy, Rick.
Okay, you're breathing. Most you're sitting.
I'm not even smoking a cigar.
Yeah,
you don't
even have a cigar between your two fingers, which really is occupying, you know, half of his brain right there. And then he has this little notepad sitting up there that he has, like, pictures of cheerleaders or something. He scrolls through them.
I do that sometimes, yeah.
And that's about it. I sit over here, spew out solid fantasy knowledge from years of experience and wisdom, and drink craft beer.
You know where I get distracted, and it's Twitter's fault, but craft beer is swill.
There.
So what you're saying is you're an alcoholic, so I have to do all the work. Is that the takeaway from it?
No, it's the fact that you don't have the calming additives to your bloodstream.
And perhaps.
With all this nicotine and everything.
Yeah, I'm all wound
up. You're just all over the place.
Yeah, I'm excited. So who are we talking about,
Rick? Looks
like
George the Animal Steele sometimes.
I take that as a compliment.
Green tongues. He starts eating the pads over the microphone.
Eat the, what do they call the windscreen here. I start gnawing on it every now and again. All right, what was the question I'd posed to you? I'm now prepared to give my take.
Lamar Miller, DeAndre Hopkins.
Yeah, I've taken DeAndre Hopkins. I hate Lamar Miller. I know a lot of guys have him back in that number two running back role, and I believe Bob Lung, who's on our network here on Thursdays, you know, was really hyping him up as a consistent running back. My rebuttal to that would be, he consistently stinks. Look, if I'm in the position that you brought up, that I'm looking that low in the draft, I'm looking for a number two, I might be forced to go Lamar Miller. But if everything else is equal and I'm comfortable in my team and the draft's going the way I want it to, I'm going to take a DeAndre Hopkins. I think this guy's set up for a breakout. I think we have him ranked low. I think if there's going to be a surprise, and I don't know how much of a surprise you can talk about with a top, what is he, Rick, a top 16 type of wide receiver. I don't remember where we had him ranked in our final rankings on the Fantasy Sports Network show. If there's one guy, if I'm trying to identify a guy that's going to make a big leap, an 8 to 10 slot leap from where he's being ranked or where he finished last year, I think DeAndre Hopkins is one of those guys. And unless I'm in a position where I'm forced to take Lamar Miller, which is entirely possible, based off your premises, for me, it's DeAndre Hopkins.
You know, I think you actually move me to, you know, off of Miller. I mean, there's no doubt in my mind. To me, you know, Hopkins is the better player and probably the better fantasy producer.
Right.
Maybe I am thinking too much, like, well, I would already have my wide receivers. I wouldn't be worried.
Well, you have to consider that.
But
in a vacuum, it's DeAndre Hopkins.
Oh, I agree. I have to agree with you. I think you're absolutely correct. I think he's going to have more points, more points per game. And, you know, I still have the soft spot for starting running backs. You know that.
Right.
But I think maybe in this instance you could move me to Hopkins because I really like this kid. And I'm like you. I mean, I'm still iffy about the quarterback situation in Houston, but I tell you what, the kid's talented.
Yeah, and you worry about it, but it was a bad quarterback situation last year, and he managed to put it up. All right, Rick, am I asking you or are you asking
me?
I'm asking you. Oh, all right, let's have it.
Okay, how about this one? Now, we're talking about the glut of talent and positions. I'm going quarterback and wide receiver. I'm going Russell Wilson.
Okay.
Alshon Jeffrey.
Ooh, that's got to be Alshon Jeffrey. Only sort of back to, I don't remember what the other scenario was. earlier on in the game. But where I'm looking to draft an Alshon Jeffrey is, again, it was the Ben Roethlisberger question, is, again, 5 or 6 rounds before I'm even willing to consider a quarterback. With what he does with his legs, with the addition of Jimmy Graham, it's entirely possible that Russell Wilson becomes that top 5 guy this year, that he makes the leap at quarterback just based on everything he can do. But again, what I'm doing and what I'm advising to do is wait until the 8th round or after to look at your quarterback. Alshon Jeffrey, does he fall into the 3rd round? If he does, it's not going to be too deep into it this year, Rick. And that's where I got to go with Alshon.
Yeah, going from that premise, you are probably right. It's very tough because, you know, Russell Wilson, I think he was, what, ranked 4th, I believe, in our quarterback ranks on the Fantasy Sports Show. Alshon Jeffrey was quite a ways down there.
Yeah, he took a dive. He took a big dive.
How bad can he be with Chicago? I mean, they imploded last year, but Trestman's gone. You know, whole new ball of wax in Chicago. Cutler's another X factor. If he's just moping, they'll be okay. If he's pouting, they just tend to just go crazy bad.
So it's the subtle difference between moping and pouting that we need to be.
Right. You know,
there's some fantasy analysis you don't generally have to factor in.
But it's true.
It's 100% true. That's the sad part. I agree with it wholeheartedly. We don't have a category for that in most of our rankings.
I mean, if there is a quarterback out there that is like the anti-leader, I mean, it's got to be Jay Cutler. I mean, there's just no question about that. I mean, stark opposites. I mean, Russell Wilson, Jay Cutler. Honest to Pete. I don't know. I really would be tempted to take Russell Wilson because I don't have that many ifs there.
That's true. There's no question marks with Russell
Wilson. I mean, this guy's a winner. This guy's got legs. He's got an arm. He's got the smarts. And he's got that team on his shoulders. I think for my money, I'm going Russell Wilson.
All right. I don't hate it. I'm just... Unless this next scenario is staring me in the face, Rick, I'm just not willing to go a quarterback at this position. So I'm going to give you a positional player that you absolutely love against a guy who we have unanimously ranked at number one at his position. And this is a scenario you could
think. I'm going to guess what it is.
Guess.
And ladies and gentlemen, this is all off the cuff. I have no idea. But you're going to ask me Antonio Brown or Jamal Charles. Was I right? Okay.
That would have been a good one, though. Remember that one. No, ask. Rick. Emmanuel Sanders versus Aaron Rodgers. This could happen. This could legitimately happen to you in the second round, middle second round of your draft in a mere 2 months.
It could. I mean, it could happen at the beginning of the third.
True.
It could. I mean, not.
I'd be surprised. Depends on who you're drafting with. With your donkey league, with all your donkey dick friends,
true.
It's not going to happen. But in a solid league, yes, that could happen in the third round.
I tell you what, I don't like going quarterback early. But you remember, must have been about 3 or 4 years ago, the one time I went quarterback early, who was it?
Oh, I got to think back now. 3 or 4 years ago, you went with a quarterback early. I'm stumped. As soon as you say it, it's
Aaron Rodgers.
Was it?
And I did quite well. I think I'd have to go Rodgers.
I agree.
I'm not sold on Manning nearly as much this year after watching last year, pathetic mid-November through the rest of the year.
Right.
They've got a three-headed monster at the running game right now. And make no mistake about it. Kubiak's going to use these guys. You still have Hillman, very talented guy. You got Ball, and, of course, you got Anderson.
Anderson, who's being ranked in the top 10 of running backs, ridiculously.
They are going to have to get a running game going as good, if not better, than what the 2 years ago, No. Sean Marino. They've got to not rely on Peyton Manning to throw 50 times a game.
Right.
Simple as that. Hence, I think Manny Sanders' numbers drop a tad. I think he's still going to be good. But is he going to be over 100 catches and 1,400 yards? I don't know. Without Julius Thomas, maybe they'll have to be. I don't know.
That feels like lightning in a bottle to me, though. It really does.
What? I just like Aaron Rodgers. I know what I'm – it's almost like the Russell Wilson thing. There's not many ifs with him. That team is intact, and it's the same – you know what you're going to get out of him.
Absolutely.
So, Aaron Rodgers.
Yeah, I agree. When you're getting to that point – now, for everything I've said about the quarterback position – if I'm mid-two, early three, and I can get my hand on Aaron Rodgers, what you're going to give up at whatever position you would have taken at that pick where you got Aaron Rodgers, you're going to so make up for in just comfort. I know that sounds stupid, but you can plug him in. That's one position, except for 1 week of the year during his bye week, that you even have to consider, that you even have to worry about. Write down your 25 to 40 points. Relax, calm down. I think it's worth it. It's almost a peace of mind pick for me. He is that much of a sure thing. In a draft, Rick, in a season where I look and I don't see a lot of sure things out there, that would just be a fantastic piece to have. I don't have tremendous concerns about Emmanuel Sanders, but I got enough to where Aaron Rodgers is going to be the guy ahead of him.
I agree. I think that... as time goes on, I'm starting to, and maybe unjustly, lose a little faith in the potential of the Bronco offense. I still think it's going to be potent. Is it going to be this machine like we've seen the last couple of years? I don't know. But I know Aaron Rodgers is going to be Aaron Rodgers. And it's just... that many more less ifs that you have to worry about. I like that. It's a comfort pick, almost like comfort food, meatloaf and mashed potatoes.
Absolutely. Yeah. It's just comfortable. You just
exactly.
Don't
exactly.
All right, Rick, we got time for one more.
Okay, one more, and you're giving it to me, and I appreciate that. Okay, I'm going to go to we're going to go wide receiver and running back, and I'm going Julio Jones. And I don't want to bring up I can't go there. Eddie Lacy.
Oh, that one hurts me. That's the guy in Julio Jones that has, in my mind, I got man love for Julio Jones. The guy, he's been injured. He's had a string of bad luck. Kid is so talented, and when it's going for him, it's going good. Eddie Lacy. Why don't I buy into? He just puts up numbers and just finishes in the top five, and he makes me nervous. I'm going to have to – I can't believe I'm saying this about Eddie Lacy, but I'm going to have to grit my teeth and take Eddie Lacy there. This guy has the potential to be the number one fantasy running back with Le'Veon Bell missing the time he's going to miss. I won Julio Jones desperately. If I take Eddie Lacy, I'm not going to have Julio Jones. But I almost feel like Eddie Lacy's the safer way to go, and I'm going to go with Eddie Lacy.
I think I'm going to agree with you. And on the same premise, if I don't pick Julio Jones, I'm not going to get Eddie Lacy either. So I just think, yeah, I'm with you. I like Eddie Lacy. I think he's going to be, I'm going to say probably a top 5 to 6 back this year, conservatively. With a potential to really explode, I think.
He could be the number one guy.
He started off so slow last year, but he ended up with 13 total touchdowns and over 1,100 yards rushing. I mean, he could have a phenomenal year this year.
Absolutely.
So I agree with you. I think it's Eddie Lacy. Not even really that close because of...
It's only close because I won Julio Jones. I want him on my team so bad. I want him to be on my squad on that year where he's healthy for 16 games, where Matt Ryan isn't flinging the ball all over the – just when it all comes together and I feel like it's going to, I want Julio Jones on my team. He could outperform anybody save for maybe Antonio Brown, and he may be able to get to that level and beyond that level if everything hits right. But I just can't take him over Eddie Lacy as desperately as I want to.
And it's a close one. That was a very good question. And That's one that you could be facing in your draft. Giving yourself
props. That was a very good question.
Huh? Well, yeah, I wasn't giving myself props. Actually, I thought you asked. That's terrible.
Oh, wow.
That's terrible.
Well, we're at the end of the show,
but
mercifully.
The thing is that you could be facing that same choice at draft day easily.
Oh, yeah, that's one. Yeah, just no question about it. That's one you may be thinking about. I'm going to grit my teeth.
Stay tuned to the side. We're going to be doing a lot of this kind of stuff. And you know what? We really didn't even hit a lot of these guys that have changed, you know, like LeSean McCoy. There's a lot of people that have him still number one, have him down 7-8. There's going to be a lot of discussion there. Jamal Charles coming off a bad year.
Yeah, there's a good premise for next year's show. Guys, next show or next year.
You said next year's
show.
Oh,
did I?
Yes, welcome to the annual Asylum Fantasy Football Show.
Well, you'd
we'll see you next June.
You'd listen to that. But, yeah, that's a good premise for a show there, Rick. Let's do that next week. Guys who sort of the biggest movement in where they're ranked. You wear a guy you've seen as high as 3 down to 9. That's what we're going to do. Cole, you dummy, write that down. All right, we got to get out of here. We are over time. Thanks so much for joining us. Check out AsylumFantasySports.com every single night of the week for more fantasy goodness. We've got everything from NASCAR to Dynasty to baseball. We've got everything covered. We'll be back next Tuesday here live, 8 o'clock Eastern. You can also hear us Saturday at FantasySportsNetwork.com. Hit us up on Twitter at Asylum Football. Until next time, we'll see you.
He got all that out, and all I have to do is say, take care. So if they see me drunk in this bar, it ain't over a broken heart. 'Cause I'm drinking to a country song, to another long work week gone. Yeah, play this country song. And I'm white yoga on there.
I don't know if I have any white yoga.
Willie Nelson.
You know what's good? I need to get Don't Let Your Mamas Don't Let Your Babies. I need to get that on the
great
board.
Song.
That might be one of the greatest songs ever written. What do I have here, old?
You ever hear the Buzzin' Cousins?
Sounds familiar.
That was Dwight Yoakam, John Mellencamp, John Prine, and two or three other guys. Good group.
Sounds pretty good. Cheers to